The things that we let come into our eyes and our ears will affect us in our hearts, in our soul. And it's important for us to pay attention how those things do. Pay attention to what the movies do to your heart. Pay attention to it. Because if it causes you to have a negativity, a darkness come upon you, then it'd be best to not watch the movie, right? To not watch the show. If the music is going to cause you to have an anger that you don't know where this is coming from, then it'd be best not to listen to the music. But listen to things that are going to bring you close to the Lord. Amen. Draw you near to Himself and help you to have control over your emotions. Emotions are not evil, but they often lead us to do many evil things. And there is no emotion that God has created us to have that is evil in of itself. But boy, I tell you, all those emotions can lead us to do all kinds of evil, all kinds of evil. And so may God help us to recognize these things and to do something about it, right? To do something about it. Well, if you would take the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 37, Psalm 37. And I encourage you to be good students of the Word of God. Pastor Chris would say this every time he'd get up to preach. Let's be good students of the Word of God. And what he meant by that was open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. And he also meant take notes. Take notes. And I would encourage you to do that. I don't believe that it's a command to take notes, but it's always been a help to me. And there are times where I look back to the notes that I've taken and they've been a help. And so beyond that, it helps us to remember. When I'm taking notes, I have a piece of paper and a pen. That's what taking notes is. Maybe you have some kind of app on a phone or whatever. But what it allows you to do is when the Lord gives a thought about what's being said, it doesn't have to be what the pastor's saying expressly, but the Lord puts a thought in your mind about something that's being said. You can write that down to remember it. And what I'll do is I'll put my initials next to it so that I remember this is something that God put upon my mind as the preacher was preaching. And so that's a little extra. But I encourage you to take notes. Sometimes you have a little margin in your Bible. Like, that can be a good place to take notes. Or you have a notebook. And so do that. Well, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Brethren, when we look throughout the Scripture, we're going to find David speaking about the unrighteous evildoer. We're going to hear him speak about the evildoer many times, many times. And Psalm 37 is all about the evildoer. I want you to know that you are going to face those who are going to do things to you, say things about you, think things about you, say things behind your back that are evil. What that means is bad. They're going to do these things. They're going to say these things. They're going to think these things. They're going to express these things. These evil things, and they are sinful. We're not talking about evil. The Lord God does evil. I don't know if that surprises you or not, but God can cause bad things to happen, right? He can cause bad things to happen. He does it throughout the Scripture. And so God does it. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about sinful evil, the evil that man does. Now here's what we need to understand. You're going to face these things from all kinds of people, and you should understand that that's true because guess what? You do it too. You do it too. You say things about people that you should not say. You do things to people thinking to yourself, I'm doing this for their good, but actually you're doing it for your good, right? You're manipulating them. You're lying to them. You're trying to get them to do things your way. and you're doing it in a way that is wrong. And we say sometimes, well, they did it to me, and so I'm just doing it back. Here's what God says, and we'll see it in Psalm 37. Fret not thyself to do evil. That's in response to the evildoer. And it's very easy for evil to become nothing more than a rotation upon people. A tit for tat. A dog eats dog world that we live in. But God has given us a much better way. Trust Him. Trust Him. I want you to understand that this does not mean that God is not going to do anything to the evildoer. In fact, this psalm makes it very clear that He is going to do many things to the evildoer. But we cannot usurp God's authority and do what He alone should do. Because then we ourselves become what? The evildoer. And if we ourselves become the evildoer, then we ourselves put ourselves under the same condemnation, the same place where God is going to deal with the evil that we've done. There's a much better way. Trust the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And understand that He is very good at what He does. He is very good at what He does. Did you know in your homes you're going to face evildoers? Who are you going to face evil from? Your spouse? Your kids? What are you going to do about it? This is what most of us do. Evil. That's what we do. You do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. But God's called us to something greater and better. To turn to Him and to wait upon Him. And let Him do something. Now, He may use you, but not in a sinful way. He may lead you to say something, but often it's not going to be right away. But we need to learn, every single one of us, to wait patiently for the Lord in the midst of the evil that is undoubtedly we are going to face everywhere we go. I've said it many times, and I'll say it many times again, if I continue to live in this world, the place where we're going to face the most sin is where? In our homes, right? In our homes. Why? Because that's where we're all most of the time. That's where we let our masks down. We're not on our best behavior all the time. And so God has a better way. And I'm glad for God's better way. Because the truth is that God does give the evildoer space to repent. And if that evildoer repents and turns to the Lord and says, I shouldn't have done that, what's the Lord going to do? You know, He may not do all the things that he was thinking of doing. Have you ever done that to one of your children? Where as far as you could tell, they came to you with all the sincerity of real tears. And said, I just don't want what you're going to give me. Please, please, please forgive me. No, Daddy. And you say, you know what? Today, mercy. I'm gonna sit them down. I'm gonna tell them what they did was wrong. I'm gonna tell them what's gonna happen next time. And maybe we should turn the recording off here. But the spanking didn't come because you were merciful, and God is merciful and kind to us, and we ought to be glad about that. Even with the most evil people in this world who do the most evil things to us, because ultimately our heart ought to be God's heart, which number one is that all men be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. Would you forfeit God's wrath upon someone if that person got saved and started walking with God? If you're saved today, most surely you would say yes. I remember who I was before I was saved. My goodness. I'm so glad He's merciful. Amen. And may God teach us some things today that hopefully will be a help and guide us in the way that we deal with things. Because the truth is, we too often deal with things wrongly. We deal with it with evil and not with good. We deal with it not with patience, not with kindness, not with waiting upon the Lord, but with all the wrath we can muster because we are right and you're wrong. And God says, I have a better way. And so look there in the Word of God, starting in verse 1. It's a long passage, and we're not going to read through the whole thing, but I'd like you to bear with me as we read the first 15 verses, and then verse 40. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself in any wise. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight thyself in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeketh that his day is, he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and they have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken down. Verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You're in the habit of marking your Bible. Underline that. Or take note, because they trust in him. Do you trust the Lord with those who do evil against you from all places? God will deal as he pleases, but we must let him, because they trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you'd please have your hand upon us now. Guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Minister to us. Help us. Do a work today. The work we need. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to make our way through this passage very quickly. And so if you have a note, if you're trying to take notes, if you can't keep up, I've got my notes because I don't have all this memorized. And I'll gladly print them out for you. But we're going to go through very quickly. I want to look at who are the evildoers. Who are the evildoers? What does God command his children? What does God command us to do? How does God deal with evildoers? How does God deal with evildoers? And what are the promises that God has for those that trust in him? Now let's understand, evildoers are those that seek to do an injury. They seek to do an injury. They seek to do something bad to someone else. The sad truth is, in this sinful world, when our evil passions get stirred up, we sometimes without thought, but sometimes with thought, We do bad things, even to the people that we love the most. Even to the people that we love the most. Now, before we get going, I do want to mention, because this is not in this passage, though it is throughout the scripture, what are we to do to those who do evil against us? What are we to do? Christian, we're to forgive them, right? We're to forgive them. To do that, we must trust the Lord. We must trust the Lord. Because in trusting the Lord with forgiveness, we are saying, I know that God's going to do the right thing, and I can trust Him to do it. But I want you to notice what God says about these evildoers. Because the truth is that throughout this world, there are those who do these types of things in our home, but they are most assuredly evil people who are doing evil things because they are most assuredly evil. They do not love the Lord. They hate Him. And their desire is to bring about evil upon this world for their own ends and to, in their thought, destroy the glory of God. But God, He will not give His glory to another. We can be sure of that. But I want you to notice in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. The evildoer can prosper. The evildoer can prosper. That means that they can bring about the evil that they intended to bring about. Right? Can an evil person get you to cry? If that's their desire, that can happen, right? Can an evil person get you angry? Can an evil person get you fired? Can an evil person get somebody who's your friend to not be your friend anymore? Can they prosper in these things? The evil can prosper. What are we going to do? Notice what verse 12 says. The wicked plotteth against the just. And so what do the wicked do? What do the evildoer do? The evildoer plots. That means they sit back and think about it. Have you ever thought what you were going to do to somebody while you were laying in your bed at night? Let's be careful. Because that's what the wicked does, right? That's what the wicked does. But that's what the wicked do. They plot. They think about what they can do to bring about their prosperity. They gnash upon him with his teeth like a carnivore. This is speaking about the words of the evildoer. You ever thought to yourself, how in the world did they know exactly what to say? Exactly what to say to just get up my crawl. Just to set me off. You know what? Sometimes it's because they've been thinking about it. And you gave them the exact right time. What are we going to do? Notice there in Galatians chapter 5, real quick. Galatians chapter 5. If you think this is not something that can be spoken of to the church, to the Christian. Notice there in chapter 5, verse 5. chapter 5, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That you be not consumed one of another. And so Paul here is encouraging the people to not bite and devour, right? By the way, if you bite something, chew it up and devour it, what are you doing? Consuming, right? And boy, if we're not careful, we can just consume people with our words. We can just make them nothing more than ants before us, not realizing that we are nothing more than ants before God. In verse 14, back in Psalm 37, in verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such that are of upright in heart. The wicked, the evildoer, will attack. They will attack. That's what the evildoer does. They've thought about it. And when the time is right, they will attack. Again, we need to be careful that we're not attacking, right? We cannot be attacking people with having thought about it, the words ready to go, and not be the wicked person. Not be the evildoer. They're ready to attack. Notice there in verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And so the wicked can be rich, right? The wicked can be rich. The Bible teaches, in fact, take your Bible, turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Keep your finger there because we're going to get back to Psalm 37 real quick. But notice there in chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be therewith content. But they that be rich, now listen, but they that will be rich fall in temptation into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The wicked can be rich, but let's be sure to understand this, Christian, that if our desire is the riches of this world, we are going to fall into what? Temptation and a snare. It is not a sin to be rich. In fact, there's a great argument to be said that every single one of us in this room are rich. Why is that? Because we live in America. They say, well, Pastor, I get a check from the government. That's more money than about 75% of the rest of the world is going to have today. We are rich. No doubt about it. Of course, there's many others that are much more rich. But if our desire is the riches of this world, we are going to deal with the temptations and snares that come along with it. I want you to notice, the Bible teaches it drowns men in destruction and perdition. And I would propose to you that it's not just the rich person that drowns. It is a lot of people around him too. And so may God help us. But the wicked can be rich. And you know what the wicked does? They use their riches for wicked things. And they will try to get you in on it. Right? They will try to get you in on it. Can I just warn you about something? If you're on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, about every other scroll, you're going to hit an ad. And they're going to want you to click it and buy it. Right? They're just trying to get you in on it. How many of you bought something stupid on the online? Right? You know, wasted your money on something maybe that never came. I remember we lived near a lake, and I wanted to get a SUP board. I don't know what SUP means, but that's that blow-up thing. You blow it up with air, and you can stand on it. Stand. There we go. That's what SUP means, stand-up paddle board. And I clicked on something on Facebook. $200. It's like, this is a good deal. They're usually $500. My wife doesn't know this. Pray for me. I'm done. paid for that thing. Still waiting. That was about 3 years ago. I'm just saying, we need to be careful about people who are wicked, right? Ain't no way I'm getting that $200 back. We need to be careful. We need to understand that there are wicked people with money, and they're just trying to get more of it from you, right? From you. Verse 21, this goes right along with it. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borrow and giveth not again. They lie, right? They lie. That's what it means to borrow and not give back. Because when you borrow, you sign a promissory note saying, I'm going to pay it back. But if you don't pay it back, what have you done? You've lied, right? The wicked will lie. The wicked will lie to get what they want. Notice there in verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. You say, no, he's trying to kill me, but there are people who are trying to figure out a way to cut you down. No doubt about it. In verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. And so, well, the wicked can have what? Great power. Great power. And so with all that in mind, what does God teach? What does he command the children of God? And these are commands. God is saying for us to do these things. With that in mind about who the wicked are, this is what God says to do about it. This is what he commands. Number one, verse one. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, what does the word fret mean? To worry about it, right? God knew it was going to happen before it ever happened. Right? He knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. And he knows what he's going to do about it before he ever does it. He says, listen, don't worry about it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. In verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry. Now remember, we like to look at this passage and say, well, that's a rare thing that would ever happen, that someone would want to do some wicked thing to me. But the truth is that every single one of us have dealt with the difficulty of a friend doing something to us, right? You see, the stranger who does something evil to us, I haven't spent much time thinking about that SUP board until it just popped into my mind here, and I wish I didn't say it, but it's done now. So, but I didn't spend a lot of time worrying about it. But there's been times where I thought you thought something against me out there and my friends, that you didn't like me for some reason, and I, you know what I did? Worried about it. You ever stayed up at night worrying about what someone's thinking about you? Worried about what someone might do? What does God say? Fret not. Right? Fret not because of evildoers. Now, the sad thing is we do sometimes do evil to each other, don't we? We sometimes do. Our friends sometimes speak bad about us behind our backs. And then that other person who says they're your friend, they, in their friendly way, come up to you and say, oh, you're not going to believe what such and such said about you. Oh, so often you're not being a friend. You're just stirring up strife. The question is, what are you going to do about it? The person who doesn't trust the Lord, what are they going to do? They're going to fret. And when you fret, what are you going to do? When you're fretting at night, thinking about what's going on, what are you actually doing? Let me tell you what you're actually doing. You're plotting. Right? Am I lying? You're plotting. Your fretting has led to plotting. What do I mean? You're thinking about ways to get back at them. God says, no, don't fret. Rather, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust that he knows what's going on and he cares. He knows what's going on and he cares. There have been times that I've done evil. You know what? I couldn't sleep either. And so you know what I did the next day? Got up and I said, I'm sorry. But you know what I would not have done if the first thing that happened to me when I got up that day or went before the present person that I did evil to, I was ready to say I'm sorry, and they hit me in the nose. I would never have said I'm sorry, right? Now we're both in the midst of evil, and none of us are in a position to get rid of it. Because I'm not saying I'm sorry, and you're not saying you're sorry, because we both think we're right. The Lord says, no, trust in the Lord and do good. Next time you see the person, shake their hands. Say hi.
How you doing? And let God work. Let God work.
Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This verse is taken so much out of context. There are so many verses in the scripture that teach about how as we know the Lord, as we follow the Lord, as we obey the Lord and we cry out to him. Listen, I believe fully that if we ask God for something in accordance to his will, both what he wants and in the way we ask, meaning that we're not asked regarding iniquity in our heart. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But Jesus said, but he goes on to say, if the Lord does hear me, I know that I have the petitions that I've asked of him. And so I do believe that God is in the business of answering prayer. In fact, when God is perpetually not answering our prayer, it's our chance to say, God, why? Because you should be. You promised to. But the problem is not God, it's with us, right? But I want you to notice the context of this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. This is in the context of who? The evil doer. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's about to walk through Samaria. And the desire of the heart of his disciples, when he starts to go through Samaria, and they say, you ain't walking through here. The desire of the disciples was to do what? Call down fire upon them, right? And Jesus said, you do not know the spirit that you are of. And so did Jesus give them the desires of their heart? No, because what was Jesus' desire for the Samaritans? That they be saved. And so the disciples had to delight themselves in the Lord. By the way, they did after he rose from the dead. And I tell you what, the world didn't know him. Eventually, people began to say, they've turned the world upside down, and now they've come here. I'm just saying this. When it comes to our enemies, when it comes to the people who do evil against us, even not our enemies, but our very family, who, by the way, David speaks about, his best friends, the ones he trusted doing evil against him. He said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. The Lord will do what he wants to do. And so we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And here's the thing. That can come in one of two directions, mercy or judgment. And God does both. God does both. He can cut down the wicked like the grass. And does he not do that? You think about the great empires of the world, whether in the Bible, what did he do to Nebuchadnezzar? Cut him down like the grass. Whether just a few more years in history after the Bible, the Old Testament had been done, you had Alexander the Great. What happened to him? That wicked man. He was cut down like grass. You think about recent history, Adolf Hitler. What did God do to him? Cut him down like the grass. He shot himself in the head. He thought he was going to have a world empire. All he had to do was take England out, and the world was his. He never stepped foot on it, did he? Before you know it, the Allies were in Berlin, and his head was blown off by his own self, along with his mistress and many others. I'm just saying this, God is fully capable of bringing about the good that should come, right? We've also heard the stories of Corrie Ten Boom shaking the hand of the guard who guarded her, who made her life miserable in the concentration camps because he got saved. I'm just saying God can do both. Amen? He can do both. We need to rest in the Lord. Look at it in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. These are all promises. These are all commands that lead to the fulfillment of promises that God gives. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Walk with Him every day. Let Him do the things that He's supposed to do. The Scripture, Paul teaches us to reckon ourselves dead in Christ. Dead in Christ. We need to remember that we are dead in Christ. And so that means that if someone does evil to us, guess what? I am dead in Christ. But guess who's alive? Christ. And He can do what He will. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? But that's what God commands us. Cease. Stop it. Take a deep breath. Turn to the Lord. Throw away the wrath that you have. The anger is the emotion. The wrath is the action. God says, get rid of it. Forsake it. Stop it. Cease. Let me do something. Verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. In verse 34, again, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Why? Real quick, evildoers, verse 2, shall be cut down as the grass. Verse 9, shall be cut off from life. Verse 10, will not be. Boy, that's something. God says, you will not be. Well, that's scary. That's what God says. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh. Verse 15, he says that he's going to come with his sword and his bow. And what's going to happen? He's going to die by the sword and the bow. Sounds familiar to what Jesus said to Peter, right? He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Verse 20, they shall perish. Verse 22, they shall be cut off. Verse 34, the righteous shall see it. Verse 28, the seed of the wicked, or 38, 28, the seed of the wicked are cut off. By the way, you think about this real quick. If we trust the Lord and do good rather than the wicked that we might do, I want you to think about this. It'll have an effect on our children. You think about the legacy of wicked men. You know what the legacy of wicked men is? Wicked children who cease to be. In studying for this, I came across an article of a bunch of rich magnates who did wicked things. They really did. And their homes that they built. 70,000 square foot homes. The American Versailles. And today these homes are nothing more than rotted shells. And their children don't exist. They don't have family. They're gone. But the poor righteous man. But I'd rather have very little in the way of earthly goods, but have a children who love the Lord. You'll have to look up the legacy of Jonathan Edwards, this man who gave himself every day to teaching his children and living a godly life before them. Has led to vice presidents, many leaders within America, but more than that, an example for generations of godliness. Verse 36, the Scripture says, they passed away suddenly. All of a sudden, they weren't there. In verse 38, they're destroyed altogether. Now, the promises to those who trust. Trust in the Lord because they trust in me. In verse 3, they'll dwell in the land and shall be fed. In verse 4, again, he'll give them the desires of their heart. Verse 5, he'll bring it to pass. That's the right thing is going to happen. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 6, he's going to bring forth thy righteousness. He's going to make your righteousness known among the world. I tell you, brethren, there's nothing more amazing than God bringing forth the righteousness of his people in a world that hates him. You think about the book of Acts, and that's what God did throughout the book. He made the righteousness of God's people shine forth, even while wicked people were trying to kill them. We're Christians today because of the righteous of that age. Who's going to be a Christian in the next because of the righteousness of us? Because we trusted the Lord. They'll inherit the earth. Verse 9. Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 17, God upholds them. Verse 19, they won't be ashamed in times of evil. They'll be satisfied during famine. Verse 24, they may fall, but they won't be cast down. God upholds them. Verse 26, in opposition to what the seed being destroyed of the evil, in verse 26, he says, his seed is blessed. Verse 27, they'll dwell forevermore. Verse 28, God will not forsake them. Verse 31, he will not slide. Oh, how much of our sliding came because we just did not trust the Lord. Because we sought to do evil to the evildoer. And how much we slid. Number 39, he'll be our strength. In verse 40, he will help. Brethren, Psalm 37 teaches us how to deal with the wickedness of this world. And the wickedness of this world's all around us. Our moms and our dads, our sisters and our brothers, ourselves. We do wicked, don't we? But God teaches us how to deal with it. How do we deal with it? Trust in the Lord. Because they trust. Will you trust the Lord? I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Some of you have some things where people are doing things that you do not like. Trust the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Maybe they're doing wicked things to you. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. He knows what he's doing. Doesn't he? And let's just see what God can do.